The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition TGIF. I got both Rich and Aaron in the booth today, lightly screening your calls. Friday is for your grievances. Bring them right here. 844-967-2789. And we're going to be a little sports centric this hour. Not quite yet, but eventually. We've got Civic Media's own sports reporter, Mike Clemens. He's going to join me here in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios. And Michael is in town because today is pro day for the Wisconsin Badgers, the football Badgers that would like to, you know, see a future in the NFL. Well, they all get together and they perform tasks of great physical strength and speed and, you know, agility, and they let the NFL scouts watch them. So Michael will tell us who did best. Also, what the hell's happening? Packers, the free agency. He is our Packers beat reporter, Mike Clemens, coming at 3:30 today. And my little buddy, Dominic, you know, Friday, he's not mailing it in. He's not at the cabin, but he'll join at 4. So stick around for Dom and his grievances. I'm sure he's got a few problems with you people. But I want to start today talking about U.S. senatorial candidate Eric Hudby. And I know I've been screwing up his name a lot. I wish Dom had never corrected me. I just could have always had it wrong uniformly. Eric Hudby is vowing, according to the Journal Sentinel, is vowing to donate his Senate salary to charity. He says in a new ad, he can't be bought. Ah, what a man of the people. Don't you love when the rich guys run for office? I mean, really rich guys. How insulting is it to the working class Wisconsinite that this guy is so freaking rich, he doesn't need your paltry $185,000 a year, $15,000 a month, doesn't need it, doesn't want it, you know, because he's so rich, it doesn't matter, it's insignificant. So he's going to take it as a tax hedge. He'll give it to charity. Now, I'm not clear if he defines what charity, but is it one here in Wisconsin or Laguna Beach? Here is what's being reported. Lawrence Andrea. Republican Wisconsin Senate candidate Eric Hudby is pledging to donate his entire salary to a Wisconsin charity if elected in November as part of a campaign claiming he can't be bought. Oh, you're a regular Herb Cole now. The multi-billionaire banking mogul in a new ad lamented that Washington has become corrupt, saying career politicians sell themselves to special interests instead of working for their constituents. I've worked hard, been fortunate. I don't need their special interest money, and I won't take it. If you decide to elect me as your next senator, I'll donate my entire salary to a Wisconsin charity every year. Let me point out the stupidity of that statement just for a minute. Just in case you're not playing along or thinking through logically what he's saying here. Special interest or buying and paying for politicians, right? The corruption. He's leveling it at the career politicians in D.C. But how does giving up his salary as a lawmaker, how does that have anything to do with the other? They're not being corrupted by their salaries, Eric. It's not the 185 grand that's corrupting them. You know, your effort to turn this into a different topic doesn't eliminate the fact that you're a super rich guy and you don't need the money. You're telling us it takes a hell of a lot more than 185 grand a year to corrupt you. I mean, we've already talked about Eric Hudvey's offshore banking habits. The fact that he's got a lot of money, or at least did, through reinsurance companies in Bermuda invested in tax shelters. And that is contradictory behavior to what he personally describes as his own avocation for a fairer tax. You know, let's tax the corporations. That's what he claims. But that's not his actions. And this newest action, this newest promise, this vow, I, the rich guy, don't need your paltry $185,000 a year. This one rings a little hollow, I think, with working Wisconsinites. I don't know. Is this what you want, a sender? Is this what you want? A guy so rich, he's, you know, not corruptible by that, not by the 185 grand, but what about the benefits he could garner, you know, for, let's say, buddies at the bank? I think they could far exceed the greater benefit of the personal salary of a U.S. senator. Yeah, I really do. I really do. Even my son laments the fact that Nancy Pelosi is a stock trader. And Nancy Pelosi has been accused of inside trading. And she has garnered great personal wealth because they made a lot of good stock picks, let's just say. Well, that looks, you know, from the outsider's point of view, I never liked the fact that our speaker, and she was a hell of a legislator, but our speaker of the House, I never liked the fact that she's stock picking effectively. Do you think, relative to the hundreds of millions of dollars she made potentially in the stock market picking good stocks, do you think that could far exceed her congressional salary? You know what I mean? The upside? Ron Johnson came in our studio in Milwaukee back when I was just a little broke-ass radio guy, WRD, down on Brady Street. Ron came down to the studio, and he brought beer. We let him in because he had beer. And, you know, Ron talked about the tax codes and trying to be a little fairer for the little guy, guys like me. But what Ron failed to point out when he talked about cutting the taxes, and he was the sole guy that jammed in the tax cuts for what are called designated S corporations, which are typically little LLCs that have a pass-through taxation. So, devil's advocates, devil radio, we're a little LLC. Mike Crude, as the member of devil's advocates, if we ever made any money around here, that would pass through to my taxation. And we might designate as an S corporation. Well, that's different than big mega corporations, C corporations. So anyways, Ron Johnson, in pursuit of fairness, well, he laid down the lumber. On the Trump tax cuts, Ron Johnson's personal insertion was the cutting of the tax rate for the designated S corporations. And he came down to my studio and he brought beer and he said, I did it for guys like you and I, Crudy, little small businessmen like you and I. Now, I'm certainly not equitable to Ron Johnson. The guy's got three private jets in a trust, but the widow Hendricks and the Uline family, their personal benefit just in tax year 2018, my understanding from the reporting I've read, those two tax filing families had benefit greater than $200 million in that individual tax year. $200 million in one freaking tax year. They're, of course, billionaires. I'm not implying, because the reporting hasn't told me that Hudvey is a billionaire yet, just that he runs a billionaire bank. But here's the point. The kickback, and I call it a kickback, I would see this as the corrupting influence of money in politics, but the kickback to Ron Johnson from his grandiose benefactors, the Uline family and the widow Hendricks, was about 10% of their tax savings, $21 million. That's a lot of jing, right? far exceeds the $185,000 that candidate Hudvey claims he's going to forego and give to charity. So, can you see that the benefits, the large-scale benefits to a guy like Eric Hudvey, they far exceed the salary? Pshaw, give it to charity. We'll make it an ad campaign. I'll act like it's a good thing. But what it suggests to me is he's in the column with these very wealthy human beings that are playing a whole different game than the rest of us, right? $185,000, could your family give that away this year? Mine couldn't. I don't have that kind of money to burn. I'm not giving 185 grand. I'm not giving my entire salary to charity because I am so wealthy anyways that it's insignificant. But please, please do not tell me that it's the senatorial salary that's the corrupting force. It's just ridiculous. A little bit more from the Journal Sentinel. The pledge comes as Hudvey, who owns a Madison-based real estate company and a bank in California, has said he will self-fund much of his campaign and could put tens of millions of his own capital into the race to unseat Democrat Tammy Baldwin. He said Friday he can't be bought and would put Wisconsinites first. Are we clear that he would do that? He previously said he would not accept corporate special interest dollars. Still, candidates cannot control special interest spending on their behalf. You see what he's saying there? Well, I'm not going to encourage it, but effectively, if some super PAC wanted to help him out. Now, it says here the current Senate salary, maybe I've been a little grandiose, $174,000 per year, which is funded by the taxpayers. A spokesperson for Hudvey did not say which charities Hudvey would donate his salary to. Maybe the Eric Hudvey Foundation. Do you remember the Romneys? The Romneys got an effective tax rate under 10% because he gave money to the Romney Foundation, which was just like a tax shelter benefit that had been grandfathered in. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, we don't live in the same Laguna Beach world that this guy does. These rich people, they got it different than you and I do. And this pledge just tells me this guy is so freaking rich. He doesn't live in the world I live in. $185,000 or $174,000, that's a lot of jing to me. But to a rich man like Eric Hudvey, I think it's Hudvey. To a rich guy like Eric Hudvey, that's just to be thrown in the tithing dish on Sunday.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. State tournament time here in Madison. State Street, all a bustle. Young people. State boys basketball tournament. I always enjoy watching the kids play March Madness time. It is also Big Ten tournament time. The Badgers playing right now. If you're a big enough fan, you'd be listening. You wouldn't be listening to me. But we got Mike Clemens, sports reporter from Civic Media, joining me very soon in studio. Going to give you an update on the free agency marketplace, especially the Packers, as they're affected. And other Homer interesting things about the Pro Day. Mike Clemens in town to cover NFL Pro Day for the Badger football team. So looking forward to that. But want to turn my attention back to the Laguna Beach multimillionaire. Not yet described as a billionaire, so let's not over-conflate. That's mostly a Trump thing. But there is a press release out there today from a Better Wisconsin Together. Eric Hudvey shows contempt for Wisconsinites' freedom by sharing the stage with a January 6th insurrectionist. I told the story earlier today. Ron Johnson used to come around the Milwaukee studios. Tom and Crute used to come hang out with us. And then the January 6th thing happened. And despite the fact he would often bring Spotted Cow, pretty good beer, love it, he has not been invited back, let's just say, since Ron was on the wrong side of the insurrection, on the wrong side of history. Because we won't invite him back. And Eric Hovde. I'm going to struggle with this one. I thought it was Hovde. So anyways, if I don't say it Hovde, I'm struggling. But here is what A Better Wisconsin Together says about Eric, the candidate for Tammy Baldwin's seat, Hovde. On Saturday, March 16th, Hovde is set to join convicted January 6th insurrectionist Brandon Strutka at the Brown County Republican Party event. Strutka was arrested and pled guilty in 2021 to several criminal charges stemming from his participation in the violent attack on our nation's Capitol building, an attempt from the MAGA faction to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election lost by Donald Trump. I wonder, does Eric think Trump won the election in 2020? I haven't seen him specifically come out and deny the big lie. Now, Strutka, who is currently serving a sentence of 36 months probation for his role on January 6th, is filling in at the event for fellow election denier and MAGA politician Marjorie Taylor Greene. According to a criminal complaint, Strutka made several online posts bragging about his involvement and support of the January 6th attack, including a video of himself outside the Capitol doors encouraging other insurrectionists to storm inside the building. The complaint also details witness video footage of Strutka's involvement in ripping a shield away from a U.S. Capitol police officer during the attack. In response to Hovde's plans to publicly cozy up with Strutka this weekend, the following are comments from A Better Wisconsin Together's Deputy Director Mike Brown, our friend. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde's decision to keep such company is another stunning display of just how out of touch he is with the values of Wisconsin. Eric Hovde, by choosing to share a stage with Brandon Strutka, is showing support for a MAGA faction that engaged in a violent attack on our nation's capital and a criminal conspiracy. Well, he is a criminal, but it was, and I agree, a criminal conspiracy to overturn the election, the results of an election they overwhelmingly lost. If they had succeeded, the votes of millions of Wisconsinites would have been thrown out. Now, Mike Brown goes on to say, we deserve leaders who will uphold the will of the voters, even if they don't like the results. To associate with a known participant in an attempt to illegally overturn an election is a blatant disregard for our fundamental freedom and the promise of democracy, small d, and all that all votes hold equal weight in our elections. It raises serious questions about Eric Hovde's judgment, his ethics, and his values. This is a bad call, Hovde. You should not be appearing on the stage with January 6th insurrectionists. And I don't care if it's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Stay away, sir. Now, I don't know the man yet. I don't know. We've reached out to his campaign, been vocal if you're listening. Bring the man around. I don't have an axe to grind. You know, I'm going to call him out the way I see him, balls and strikes and all that kind of stuff. But I think this would be a poor choice of this candidate to go appear on a stage at a fundraiser at a get-to-know-you event in Green Bay with a known, pled guilty, still on probation, January 6th insurrectionist. But, you know, here in the state of Wisconsin, there are so many of them, it'd be hard to differentiate. I mean, hell, Andre Jacques, who wants to run for the 8th Congressional District, that's Green Bay. Well, Andre Jacques wrote a letter to Mike Pence on January 5th, 2021, saying, you know, let's not count the votes. Just give us 10 days. We're going to ruminate on it back here in the state and, you know, see if we can find a differing outcome. Well, that was Andre Jacques. Of course, we've got the third CD guy. You know, that's Derek Van Orden. Evil clown, as he's now been come to known. I prefer angry drunk Derek Van Orden. But Derek, he's also an alleged insurrectionist. And Scott Fitzgerald, he was willing to throw out the electoral outcomes in his home state, the same ballot he was elected to the first time, as was Tom Tiffany, 14 other state lawmakers in the state of Wisconsin, and we got 10 fake electors, one of whom is still a Wisconsin election commissioner, Bob Spindell. Joel from Madison, welcome. Did I leave anybody out? I mean, it's hard as a Republican to appear on a stage and not be present with an insurrectionist.
Well, one could choose, and if Eric Hardy wanted to indicate that he has some interest in the state of Wisconsin, how about appearing, you know, with a group of people who are looking at the problem of PFAS, or appearing with a group of people in the part of the state that's just been hammered by this loss of the hospital in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls at St. Joe's and Sacred Heart? How about meeting in a community group there and finding out, gee, what are people thinking about what they might do? What I see is a rich guy, sashaying in, got money from his dad and then grandpa and did quite well by himself. Well, okay, that's fine. But he's going to donate his salary, to which I would say, so? So you're rich enough that you don't need your salary. Lucky for you. So you're going to spend your own money on the campaign. How fortunate for you that you are in that circumstance, that you don't have to spend. No, he's nobody's man except Eric Hovde. Except we hear him say he's only going to be working for Wisconsinites, to which I would say, which Wisconsinites? As you well delineated, here you got the Ulines, the Bradleys, all those people that have done real well with these tax cuts. The salary is pitifully insignificant compared to what the tax breaks are, compared to what the donations are. And I think the fact that he thinks we're so stupid that we can't parse that out is just appalling. It puts him in the place of a rich banker who's trying to pull one over on the person who's getting a home loan. And where's the fine print, Eric, in all of this? Thanks a lot.
Well, I know he's in Madison today. Glorious sunny weather that we had. He shot a video this morning, my understanding, and you know, he's trying to play local. He's trying to be local. Maybe he's watching the Badger game right now. Maybe someone you know is as well. We'll come back. We got a fine guest. He's Mike Clemens. He's our sports reporter. We'll check in on Bucky. We'll check in on the Packers and Badger Pro Day. Lot to cover. It's a Friday. Thank God. More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Thank God, got to work some more cowbell in. Got a fine guest, got to work him in right now. He is sports reporter extraordinaire Mike Clemens from Civic Media. Mike, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. Great to have you in the WMDX studios.
Hi, Crudy. Yeah, I came to Madison today. I'm based out of our Milwaukee stations, but today was the pro day for the Badgers, where they've got their, the NFL scouts come in and take a look at the Badgers football team. So we saw Braylon Allen, and I was all excited because I went down to the combine in Indianapolis.
Yes.
The NFL scouting combine is where they bring in about 320 players from all over the country.
Yes.
And they run the 40 and they lift weights and they interview with the teams.
I just missed the combine.
Did you? Oh, you were going to go?
No. Like as a player, I'm joking.
Oh, you did as a player. Yeah. Sure. Turn your head and cough.
Straight from high school.
Anyway, so down there at the combine, and then Braylon Allen, the Badgers running back, decided not to run the 40.
And at the combine.
At the combine.
How about today at Pro Day?
No.
No 40s.
I was kind of surprised by that. Aren't you?
I am. Well, because he's fast. I thought he was a track guy.
He was nice enough to come over and talk about it. And you know what? It was a high ankle sprain that he had last season where he missed those games. And he just doesn't feel like he's 100% yet. I saw him run those drills. You know, they got to catch the ball, run the shuttles, that kind of thing in Indianapolis. And I was impressed. I was really impressed. He did it again today, and I thought, but you know what? There was times where he looked a little gassed, a little out of breath.
Maybe he hadn't been getting the aerobic work.
Maybe, but at whatever the case, he said, I just don't feel right about it yet, and so we've decided we're still not going to run the 40 because until he's 100% coming off that high ankle sprain injury. So
now he's a big boy. A really big boy. 6'2", 245? Is that what?
He's bigger in person than you think.
He was the biggest back at the combine, seemingly. When you saw him all standing there, he was like a man amongst boys. And these are some big-ass NFL, soon-to-be NFL picks.
Especially,
and he's bigger than all of them.
Especially his height. Although, I don't know. That kind of style of running back is a little out of style these days, you know? You know?
The only problem I ever had with Braylon Allen, few fumbles. Yeah. And he's going to have to prove that on Sundays. He's just going to have to be there when it matters, when they need to grind out some clock, whatever team he goes to. But I got to ask you, Mike, the Packers, I mean, they didn't take T.J. Watt. They didn't take a lot of my favorite former Badgers that I watched up close and personal. I'm thinking this guy's going to have a great NFL career on Sundays. And the Packers never seem to grab a Badger. Now, I see A.J. Dillon is apparently coming back into the fold with a reduced contract, very Packer club favorable contract. But Braylon Allen looked damn good in the green and gold. What do you think, Mike?
As the number three? Or is the number two?
As part of the stable. Who knows?
As start part of the stable.
Yeah. You know, whoever's your hot back, you go with that guy today.
Let's think about this. Because they just pulled off this deal. And, you know, let's talk about this Aaron Jones thing. Why yeah. Aaron Jones isn't there?
Yeah.
7 years with the Packers. Came in as a fifth-round pick. Worked his tail off. And then last season, that first game against the Bears, ran in that touchdown down at Soldier Field about 35 yards, grabbed the back of his leg when he got in the end zone,
yeah,
hamstring. And in the locker room down in Chicago, he said, I think I just tweaked it. Well, he missed like the next five or six games. Then later gets carted off the field with a knee injury, tears in his eyes, thinking, you know, maybe not only his season, but his career could be over. Turned out to be an MCL, not an ACL. Came back and pretty much led the Packers into the playoffs with that fast burst that he had coming out of the backfield. I remember being down in Dallas for that playoff game against the Cowboys. Micah Parsons is that outstanding mm-hmm. pass rusher on the Cowboys defense. And he was going to drill Jordan Love. He'd beat Zach Tom at right tackle. This Cowboys pass rusher is headed right for Jordan Love. And who got in the way? Aaron Jones blocked him. So not only a great running back, but a good blocker. Last week, Drew Rosenhaus, the famous agent.
He's a ball buster.
He is. He came in and said, okay, our guy, my client, took a pay cut last year, $11 million. So we're not going to do that this year. Russ Ball, the finance director for the Packers, said, well, as a matter of fact, we were thinking more like $6 million this year.
Yeah.
Outrageous. Outrageous. And by the end of the week, they weren't going to budge. And then the Packers told ESPN, we told them we're going to move on if you don't come down to six, because he's 29 years old. He'll be 30 in the season.
I know, but it's still somewhat disrespectful to the chemistry of the team, is it not? When you got a guy like Aaron Jones who took you, I mean, that team was different with him in the backfield.
It was
not the same team until he came back. And his dynamic play, I think, opened up Jordan Love and made him a better quarterback. How do you disrespect your guy like that?
And I can tell you, too, since he was a rookie, Aaron Jones is one of the smartest running backs I've ever interviewed. You know, you talked to him about, hey, what happened on that touchdown? This happened in a preseason game in his rookie season. And he told me, player by player, left to right, well, I saw the end do this. I saw the linebacker do that. I saw the safety shift over here. Then our guy moved over here. So I knew that that hole would probably be open instead of the one that they called it, that Aaron Rodgers called in the huddle. I mean, he's that smart of a guy, of a football player. He sees the field that well. Anyway, the talks broke down last weekend, and the Packers, true to their word, they went to their personnel board, said, okay, who else is out there? And somehow they talked Josh Jacobs, the lead running back for the Raiders, who's got a burst. There's a lot of them, looks like Aaron Jones, only he's 26 years old. Less wear and tear on the body. And he agreed to a deal. Now, it's 4 years and $48 million. And you know these NFL contracts. It's like, yeah, take that and cut it in half. Really? We'll see.
Because we see how much is guaranteed, and they'll want to restructure in a year or two if the cap requires. Well, let's talk about age then. The Braylon Allen has been famous for being a young guy performing like a grown man from age 17 on. He came to the Badgers, played, you know, reclassified to play as a freshman, and, you know, they were going to bring him in as a safety.
So today, out of Fond du Lac, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Today, I got a chance to talk to Braylon Allen. He kind of recognized me from the combine. And there's across the way is Brian Gutekunst and his top scout, Milt, from the scouting department of the Packers. I said, hey, so did you get a chance to talk to Goody? No.
They didn't even talk to the guy.
No. You know who they did talk to? The center, Tanner Bordellini. Typical Packers. They're out looking for linemen. They know what they're doing at running back.
The NFL has put a lot less premium on the running back of late.
They have.
They've sort of de-emphasized. They seemingly think, you know, these are replaceable parts. They always had a very short shelf life. 3-4 years, the average NFL
that's it.
Running back. Yeah. And, I mean, it's a brutal sport. These guys are taking a beating.
Yeah.
Does that benefit a squad? I mean, the fact that Braylon Allen is 20 years old, he doesn't have a lot of rough miles on him yet, although he did play in the Big Ten.
I got to believe that the Packers still have a philosophy that they had the year that they won the Super Bowl, and they got so far into the season. And then, okay, let's activate the rookie, James Starks, and he took him all the way to the end zone and beat the Steelers for, you know, in a Super Bowl. I think that's that when you talk about the value of the position, that's probably where they're at.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. I'm right here in the WMDX studios in Madison with my pal Mike Clemens, sports reporter, especially Packers beat reporter for Civic Media. And I think we're going to have some happy Badger fans joining us here in a moment. Looks like the Badgers will prevail over Northwestern 70-61. So they're going to go on to the Final Four of the Big Ten tournament. They'll play tomorrow, I believe, midday game, but we'll confirm the times once the game is final. It's final. Bucky wins 70-61 over Northwestern. So go Bucky. But Pro Day here in Madison. Bortolini, you mentioned we've talked a lot about Braylon. Who else worked out for the scouts? Who impressed today?
Nobody else really jumped off the page. There's about 8 players out there. I'll tell you what was impressive was there's one guy I thought, wow, he looked pretty fast. He looked really fast. He ran a 4.46. I just got the times from the university. That's Tanner Mordecai, the quarterback.
The quarterback ran a 4.46?
Wow.
Well, how do you think he will project? Late round? Mordecai, will he get drafted?
Maybe.
He's a big kid, right?
He's average size. He could be a third string quarterback, maybe a camp arm and a practice squad guy.
Make a lot of money doing that in the NFL if you stick around long enough.
You know, practice squad wasn't so long ago. You maybe got 40 or 50 grand a year.
Yeah.
And I think that's already up to like 250,000 a year now. So you can do okay.
Mike Clemens, sports reporter, Packer beat reporter. You've been covering the Packers for years and years. This has been an aggressive offseason. I mean, there's always the restructuring necessary to make cap room. It's a business, first and foremost. The NFL is a business. But I was a lot surprised that Aaron Jones out and that they signed a new tailback. You know, I read somewhere for like 31 minutes we had the best backfield in the NFL.
Right, Monday afternoon.
But that was short-lived because, of course, they moved on. Then they brought A.J. Dillon back, Quadzilla. So they've got a 1 and a 2. Maybe they go after a guy like Braylon Allen, but I'm not going to hold my breath. What are the Packers' needs in this draft? They got their safety.
Yeah.
Tell us about this safety before we go on. Tell us about this.
I don't know that much about him
yet. The Giants guy.
Xavier McKinney, 24 years old now. The best thing I saw in the scouting reports after they signed him was tackling. His efficiency in tackling, which completely replaces Darnell Savage Jr., who started out of Maryland as Terrapin, as a guy who put his head into it. But, you know, how many times did we see that guy pull up on a tackle in the last year or two? He still has got great speed. He got picked up by the Jacksonville Jaguars, a minimum 3-year deal. But that's what they're looking for. And this new defensive coordinator that they've got wants to base the defense more on the secondary, the back end of the defense, than necessarily the inside linebackers.
What about inside linebackers? My understanding is to successfully play this sort of defense, we're going to need some better backs, better inside guys. And what, we cut Campbell, right?
We cut Campbell, and he just got picked up by the 49ers today. You know why? Remember, if you're watching the Super Bowl, one of their great linebackers, Dre Greenlaw, suffered the torn Achilles tendon in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, running in from the sideline.
Yeah, yeah. So he'd had a sore Achilles for several weeks, But it, you know, the thing snapped on him in the game. It's a brutal sport, man. So they've got a kid named Isaiah McDuffie to back up Quay Walker, their first round pick, and they're putting all their chips in those two to get started. Then they'll see what else that they can pick up in the draft, or maybe in free agency as well.
I heard they wanted to move Walker over to the weak side so he'd be less involved in the play call, could be more of a flow guy.
Right.
I mean, he's a brutal in all the right ways. I love that Quay Walker kid out of Clemson, right?
Yes. No, Georgia.
My bad.
Georgia. I think he's Georgia.
I knew it was the SEC.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they do the best football, I think, sometimes, at least as it translates to the pro game down there.
From the high schools on up.
Well, you know, they got all the weather down there. So, Michael, the draft happens about a month from now? Mm-hmm. The player evaluations, you had mentioned you're in Madison today. You're at the UW Pro Day. And Braylon Allen and Bortolini were the two stars, if there were stars on the Badger team, to evaluate. And you mentioned Braylon didn't run his 40s, but, you know, he's got some film. You can look at his film. You can see there's some breakaway.
True.
You know, he's got enough burst. I think he's not, you know, a speed back. But is this all just strategizing and doing the mock drafts? Or what comes next here, Mike, for the Packers, for the NFL?
More pro days, but then the interviews. These teams now get to interview 30 players. They can bring them in or do a Zoom call with them. But they get that last-minute evaluation to get to know these guys.
Job interview.
Yeah, a job, real-life job interview.
I've been through a few.
Yeah.
Occasionally as the employer, once or twice as the seeking to be employed.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I'd have made an NFL team.
No, probably not.
I'm too truthful. They'd ask me my 40 times. I'd say 5+, and they'd say goodbye. Come back. Mike Clemens, the sports reporter for Civic Media, got lots to talk about. Badgers, they won. They beat Northwestern. They'll be playing on a weekend. 70-61. Go Bucky. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Got my buddy Dominic joining soon. We'll start airing your grievances. No problems. Badgers beat Northwestern today, 70-61. They'll be playing on the weekend in the Big Ten tournament. And you can always listen across the Civic Media Network. I recommend the WRJN. The game will stream there. You can listen over the air on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, or 98.1 FM. And I got Civic Media's fine sports reporter, Mike Clemens, right here with me. Man, we were talking about the 32-hour work week yesterday on the show. You sent me a text. What do you say about 32 hours of
32
work?
32 hours? I do that on the weekends, man.
I know you do. You've always got a game. You've always got a game.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? This is a legit statement. Because, you know, you go down to Indiana, you go down to Chicago, and it's like, how do these guys in sports radio do this? They're all losers right now. The Cubs might turn around.
You mean if your team sucks?
Yeah. And, I mean, look at this. Between the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks and the Badgers, they're all respectable programs, teams, right? They're in it. They're in it. So, you know, that makes it a lot easier to cover as well. I don't care if the team wins or not. It's my job to tell listeners, what is your team doing today to win the next game? That's what I'm here for.
See, I'm a homer.
Those are questions.
I'm cheering for one of them. I'm not a journalist.
You can do that. You can do that. And you've got that role. I just think, and I don't go through, you know, coaches' garbage or anything like that. But usually if you go and you pay attention, you start to see some problems and you ask questions directly and you just take it from there. I'll tell you what, there was one time where we were in the Packers locker room and it was during training camp. This is about 4 or 5 years ago. And Aaron Rodgers, it was one of those years where he come in and he started saying, you know, I don't really need to be here for mini camp and the OTAs and all that. We've got a great receivers coach and we've got Randall Cobb here. And those guys can talk about, you know, the things that when I get here for the required mini camp and for training camp, you know, we can talk about it then. And so they got halfway through training camp, and he was just saying, oh, you know, this young receiver is screwing up, and this young guy, and this free agent we brought in doesn't know what's going on yet. And, you know, we're 2 weeks away from the start of the season, and we better start cleaning this up. Pause, and I said, you know, Aaron, when you came to camp, you looked great. Because, you know, Brett used to come in here to take him 2 or 3 weeks in training camp to get it going, to really get it going.
Get back in shape.
Yeah.
And from the off-season drinking program.
This is an accurate statement. That first day, he's like, oh, my God. Just, you know, you'd been watching Jordan Love and these other backups through May and June. And now you're into July and August and like, oh, there was no comparison. I said, but don't you think that some of these younger receivers you're complaining about would be further along if maybe you'd come to some of the OTAs or mini camps? And he went, and he said, well, you know, there's 101 receiver, and then there's the sophomore level, okay? So the 101, that could be up to the receivers coach and to, you know, maybe if Randall Cobb is here and those guys. And then I come in for the sophomore sessions, you know, during training camp. When I left, there's a couple of the beat guys that looked at me and said, I can't believe you asked that. I said, well, it's the truth. It's the truth. Because they thought for sure he was going to, like, shut us all down and walk out or storm out or anything. But he accepted that. I don't think it was the right thing to do, but he accepted that. And, of course, what did he do last year when he went to the Jets? He was there for all those off-season programs.
It was the regular season that he came up short during.
Right.
Well, I got to ask you, political career and Aaron Rodgers' future?
Oh, God.
Please. Are our worlds colliding here, Michael?
There was a story that popped up last fall when he was out in Santa Monica rehabilitating the torn Achilles he suffered 4 plays into the season. And all of a sudden, you've been to Santa Monica, right? It's a nice area and all kinds of great places to eat. And so Robert F. Kennedy Jr. posted a picture with Aaron Rodgers. It says, had a lovely lunch today with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Bobby Jr., he can come on and do a speech and sound very intelligent about all kinds of angles and hallways of government. But then you see the rest of the family, Caroline on down, they say, we love him, but he's nuts.
Yeah.
And then this week, you've got him making an announcement. Yeah, on my list of vice presidential candidates could be Aaron Rodgers or Jesse Ventura. And like Don Rosen, one of our colleagues, said to me today, he said, well, he was governor of Minnesota. I said, yeah, and how'd that turn out?
Yeah.
So I have no idea if he's actually going to consider this. I just know that there's a book coming out on him from a very good author named Ian O'Connor, who's actually interviewed him and then been talking to me. And it's like he was going to put this book out thinking he had a guy who was going to come back to play football. And now maybe the book's on hold because this is a whole new chapter, right? Would he really do it?
You know, he's got a big ego. I know a few guys like him. I am a guy like him. Big ego. Yes, I think he would. If asked, I think he would. If nominated, I think he would serve.
So he's tired of being GM of the New York Jets. He wants to go to vice president.
Hey, let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. I have not been armchair coaching this team because I'd be the third. Michael, they're in second place in the East. They won the other night. They should have. How is the Bucks doing? Give me an update.
They're up and down, man. I mean, they lost a game to the Sacramento Kings the other night where they kind of got blown out. And, just when you thought that they were getting some momentum coming out of the All-Star break when they won 6 games in a row, here's the best Bucks story I know. And it's after the Bucks had another nice win in that 6th run. The Damian Lillard, the guy that they brought in from Portland in the big trade.
Dame time.
Dame had about 41 points that night. And somebody said, you know, do you feel like you're in it now that, you know, the things that Doc Rivers wanted you guys to do on defense, offensively, et cetera, that's starting to sink in? He says, you know, when Doc first got here, the first thing he said to me was, hey, are you guys running some of those sets y'all used to run when you were with the Portland Trail Blazers? And he said, no, none of them. And Doc Rivers says, what? Those things gave us fits when we were with the Celtics and the 76ers. Well, we're going to change that. Now they're running some of the plays that Damian Lillard had that made him a success in Portland. That explains why Terry Stotts left after 2 weeks last summer.
Because they weren't utilizing some of the plays like that under
Terry Stotts was his coach for all those years with the Portland Trailblazers, thought that's why they're bringing him to Milwaukee. Adrian Griffin apparently thought otherwise. And Stotts said, then what am I doing here? That's changed. Doc's using those things that worked for him in Portland.
You know, I wonder each and every day, what am I doing here? Mike Clements, sports reporter, you are living the life I wanted to live.
Well,
being a beat reporter, working your ass off. You know, I'm doing the cushy political work over here.
Yeah, sure you are. You're cushy, yeah.
Michael, it's so great to have you here in the WMDX studios. Thanks for coming around, man.
Thanks, Grudy. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. Don't work too hard. More Devil's Advocates. Dom never works hard. Except maybe today. We'll see.